as we are gathered here to celebrate the birth of Christ. And I just want to wish each one of you a Merry Christmas. A very Merry Christmas to each and every one of you. And so for the message this morning, or this afternoon, I guess, is I want to start out by talking a little bit about communication. And that may sound like a strange place to start, but I thought it would be interesting to look at some of the communications that we have between ourselves and with our Heavenly Father. Have you ever had a conversation with your kids or your spouse where you thought that what you were telling them was crystal clear? They thought the opposite. Wasn't so clear after all. And so Lori's not here, but when Lori was 2 or 3 years old, she would be trying to put on her socks or trying to put on her shoes or trying to put on her coat, and she would be struggling away at it, and I would come and help her. And her answer always was, "Do it self." And she was very emphatic about it. "Do it self." Okay. You see, I thought I was extending some love to her by helping her. She thought I was just getting in the way and that things would be better if I just left her alone. And I'd been in a lot of business meetings as well, and I thought the message that was given there was very clear in terms of what we were supposed to do and what the actions were and leaving the meeting. And a few days later, what I realized is people interpreted what was said the opposite of what I thought it was. And so it really boils down to the fact that we don't like to hear things that we don't like, right? We don't want to listen to those things that we don't like. And we don't like to do the things that we don't want to do. It's more about our want than anything else. I want to do it this way, and somebody else wants to do it a different way. And sometimes when we try to communicate that to each other, we don't do a very good job at it, because we hear what we want to hear, and we do what we want to do. And so I wanted to just take a look at Scripture, and specifically, every good message begins in the book of Genesis. Somebody told me that once. And I wanted to look at Genesis 2, 7 and 8, and then 15. And those verses tell us that God made man out of the dust of the earth and placed him in the Garden of Eden. It's because Adam had no helpmate, it was out of God's love for Adam that he gave him Eve. And then it was out of God's love for Adam and Eve that he gave them a place to be, which was the Garden of Eden. And the Garden of Eden had everything in it that you could imagine, everything that they needed. It was a perfect place. And so God had provided a helpmate for Adam. He provided a place for them to stay. He told them they could eat of every tree except one. And so how did Adam and Eve respond to God's love? They ate the forbidden fruit. You suppose they couldn't hear God? They didn't hear him? He didn't communicate it very well? No, I think it got down to the idea of temptation. And they wanted to do what they thought they wanted, and not necessarily what God was asking of them. And so their response to God's love was to violate his request for obedience, or his desire to have them be obedient. Then if you fast forward a few thousand years, the Israelites were slaves in Egypt, and they were crying out to the Lord because of their predicament that they were in. And it says that the Lord heard their cry and sent Moses to bring them out of Egypt and into the promised land. And if you look at it, look at what the Israelites witnessed. And if you ever gone to a Seder, you would see these in Seder. There were 10 plagues, if you will. And the Israelites watched God work through all 10 plagues that came upon the Egyptians, but not upon the Israelites. He protected them and shielded them so they could see what was going on, right? At the same time, when they left Egypt, he gave them a dry land to get across the Red Sea and to finally be free of Pharaoh. So how did the Israelites respond to God's love?
Complaining.
Complaining is true, but they also built a golden calf, right? They built the golden calf and they worshiped the golden calf. So here's God trying to show them how much he loves them by doing all of these things for them. And they actually witness all of those things. And yet, what happens is they make the golden calf and they worship the golden calf. And you will find that in Exodus 32:8. It says, "They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf and have worshipped it and have sacrificed thereunto and said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt." They even gave the molten calf the honor, I guess is the right word, the honor of having being worshipped as the one that brought him out of Egypt. That wasn't true. It was God that brought him out of Egypt, not this golden calf that they chose to worship. And you know, throughout all of the Old Testament, it was out of God's love for his people that he sent prophets to guide them, prophets that would warn them of consequences if they were not obedient. And what did they do to the prophets? It says in Jeremiah 9:26, "But they became disobedient and rebelled against you and cast your law behind their backs and killed your prophets who had admonished them so that they might return to you, and they committed great blasphemies." And then in 1 Kings 19:14 it says, "Then he said, I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts." This is Elisha. "For the sons of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down the altars, and did what? Killed your prophets with the sword, and alone, and I alone am left, and they seek my life to take it away." So once again, how did the Israelites respond to God's love? They killed the prophets. They made a molten calf. They committed the original sin. And this was God trying to reach out to them in love. See, God attempted to demonstrate his love for the Israelites through miracles that they all had witnessed, through the prophets, by giving them everything they needed, like manna when they were going through the desert. Yet the Israelites just didn't understand that this was God's love for them. They couldn't bring themselves to the point of understanding that what God wanted is he was showing them love and he wanted their love back. And instead of giving their love back to him, right, they chose to be disobedient and to do their own thing. You think people like doing their own thing today? Yeah, I think that's true. People think that their own thing is the most important thing. Right? That what I want to do is most important. And the Lord may have a call on our life, and we choose, a lot like the Israelites, to just push that aside and say, no, I don't think so. But it truly is the love of God reaching out to each and every one of us. And so, about 2,000 years ago, a little over now, God decided he was going to make a change. And he, in the way that he wanted to communicate with us, he decided to establish a new covenant where he would send his only begotten Son to this earth to demonstrate to us the love of God. And the love of God for all of creation, for all of mankind, not just the Israelites, but for all of mankind. And so he chose to send his only begotten Son that we might experience the gift of salvation in our life. You know, if you look at it, in John 1:1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." So Christ was there at the very beginning of all of creation. And if you look a little farther down in the book of John, in chapter 1, verse 14, it says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." So here is the Son of God who chooses to leave the throne and come to earth to live among us and to show us, to demonstrate to us the love of God. And so tonight we celebrate the birth of Christ, of this Christ child. And it is out of God's love for each one of us that he sent Jesus into the world to show us his love, to forgive us, and to redeem all of us that believe that Jesus was indeed the Son of God. This baby Jesus, laying right there, when you think about it, this baby Jesus grew up as the son of a carpenter, or so people thought, right? He gave up his heavenly throne so that he could walk among the people and really experience what they experienced in their daily lives. So he was much like just an average man. Now, I also agree he had a link to the Heavenly Father that made him kind of special from that perspective. But he did walk among us as a common man. And as an ordinary man, he talked with the people in revealing the truth of the very nature of God the Father. And that's why he came, is to show us what the nature of God the Father was, the love that God the Father has for each one of us. And I don't know how many of you watch, but The Chosen, I know Don and Patty have watched it, and I was watching it the other day. There's a new series out, and it's The Last Supper. But what you see there is that Jesus was among ordinary people, telling them about the love of the Father and giving them guidance and direction. But at the same time, right, he pointed out the hypocrisy of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And so, which got him into trouble, by the way, as we all recognize. But the fact of the matter is, he spoke the truth. He spoke the truth in love for each and every one of us. He also demonstrated the power to overcome those temptations in our life. The power that Adam and Eve didn't demonstrate when they ate of the fruit because they were tempted by Satan and they gave in to that temptation. But he demonstrated that through the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, right, we can overcome that temptation. He gives us that power within us. He shed his blood on the cross. He gave up his life for us. And again, if you were to watch The Chosen, you'd see that that was a very painful thing for him to do, because you hear the human side of Jesus coming out. And even though he knew what was going to happen, he knew he was going to redeem mankind, going through the torture was a very difficult and distressing thing for him. And it was no small thing that he was willing to go to the cross and endure the torture that he did when he gave his blood for our salvation. You know, and as a result of that, says in the book of Matthew, I believe, the curtain in the temple was torn from top to bottom, not from the bottom up, from the top down. And it was that curtain that kept mankind, you and I, right, away from God. We were not allowed to go behind that curtain. But it was torn from top to bottom, that we might be able to actually be in the presence of God. That's what God wanted. It's God's love for us. He wants us to be in His presence. He wants us to be in His kingdom. He wants to be by our side and loving us and caring for us in everything that we do. And then Christ also sent the Holy Spirit to each one of us that we might personally know Him, right? Jesus Christ, know God the Father, and as an intimate friend, and experience the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. That's possible for us through this babe that we celebrate the birth of. All of those things are possible because God the Father loved us so much, and He wanted to show us that love, to demonstrate that love to each and every one of us. And so, the question that I really have for each one of you this evening is, how do we respond to God's love? I don't think we want to be like the Israelites and just do our own thing. I think we really need to think about how we respond to God's love. And what He wants is simply for us to love Him back. And loving Him back means that we need to be obedient, that we need to take the things that we do in this life very seriously and make sure that each and every one brings Him glory and honor. Are we willing to accept this new covenant that Christ brought to us? Are we going to accept it? Because you know what it really is? It's a second chance. God tried all those times in the Old Testament, right, to show the people how much He loved them, and they turned their back. So He said, here's a second chance. I'm going to send my Son Jesus Christ to you, that He will demonstrate my love for you, and He will provide the path for eternal life for you by believing in Him and knowing that He loves us and cares for us and reaches out to us in everything that we say and do. So, this Christmas, as we think about Christmas and tomorrow morning, I want us to think about the birth of Jesus not just as a birth of a babe, but rather as the one that gives us the pathway to holiness, the pathway to eternal life. Because it is Christ's sacrifice that allows us to experience the true love of God in our life. And it is through the blood of Jesus that we can experience God's presence and God's kingdom now, in this room, as well as eternity. God's kingdom and the presence of God is not something that we say, well, it's something that happens, you know, when we die. We go to heaven, okay? But God's presence is in this room right now. His Holy Spirit. You can't push His Holy Spirit out of this room. I'm sorry. You can't do that. You can, might try, but just be sure you cannot. Because God's presence is here in this room. And He's calling to each one of us and asking us, do you really understand how much love the Father has for you? And how much He wants each and every one of us to become an intimate friend with Him? And how much He wants each one of us to follow His guidance and to be obedient in our daily lives? Would you pray with me? Father, we are so grateful for Your Son, Jesus Christ. We are so grateful that You, as our Heavenly Father, decided to send Your only begotten Son to this earth to the Israelites and to each one of us, so that we could begin to understand the great love that you have for us. And so, Father, may we have open hearts, open minds, open ears, open eyes, Lord, to really see your presence, to be able to experience the depth of your love, which is unbounded, so maybe we can't see the depth, but we certainly can feel your presence and know how much you love us and want us to be a part of your kingdom. So, Father, may we follow you and always be obedient to your will in our lives. And Lord, may this Christmas and every Christmas remind us of the birth of your Son and of the great gift that he gave us through his death on the cross, which provided the pathway to eternal life. And we say all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.